supplication on Sundays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. In the name of Allah, from whom I hope for nothing but bounty, and from whom I fear nothing but justice. I rely only upon His word, and I cling only to His cord. In Thee I seek sanctuary, O possessor of pardon and good pleasure. From wrong and enmity, and from the changes of time, and the recurrence of sorrows, and from the striking of mishaps, and from the expiration of my term before preparation and readiness. From Thee I seek guidance to that wherein is righteousness and being set right. From Thee I seek help in that which is linked to success and favorable response. Thee I beseech for the garment of well-being and its completion, and for the covering of health and its permanence. I seek refuge in Thee, my Lord, from the goadings of the Satans, and I seek protection in Thy sovereignty from the injustice of the sovereigns. So accept my past prayers and fasting, and make my tomorrow and what is after better than my present hour and my today. And exalt me in my clan and my people, and protect me in my waking and my sleeping. For Thou art Allah, the best guardian, and Thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, I am quit before Thee on this day of mine and on all Sundays that follow it, of associating others with Thee and of heresy. And I devote my supplication sincerely to Thee, addressing myself to Thy response. And I observe the acts of obedience to You for the hope of Your rewards. So bless Muhammad, the best of Thy creation, the summoner to Thy truth. Exalt me with Thy exaltation, which is never made to suffer loss. And protect me with Thy eye, which never sleeps. And seal my affair by cutting me off from everything but Thee and my life with forgiveness. Surely Thou art the All-Forgiving, the All-Compassionate.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, and this program today is special. We're going to speak about Lady Zahra, role model for women. Today, Saturday, is the 11th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of December 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special, and we open it by listening to recitation of Surah Isra, chapter 17 of the Holy Quran, verse 23. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا. إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وقل لهما قولا كريما.
And your Lord has decreed that you not worship except Him, and to parents good treatment, whether one or both of them reach old age while with you. Say not to them so much as, Uff, and do not repel them, but speak to them a noble word.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In the Quran, we read the commandment on being good to one's parents. Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, was so loyal and devoted to her father, the Messenger of Allah, Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, that he said the following about her. You are the mother of your father. In Arabic, they say, Umma Abiha. One meaning of this is that the love which she had for her father was much greater than just the average love which a daughter would have for a father.
ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
This part, Fatima, the perfect role model. Amongst the 14 infallibles, it was necessary for one of them to be a woman as if all of them were men. Then all of the advice, recommendations and teachings which we see directed towards the women of the community, things such as how to take care of one's spouse, how to maintain the home, how to take the care of children, the style and function of the hijab, how to modestly maneuver within society, patience and submission to God in face of challenges, and the hundreds of other teachings which have been mere words which were spoken in simple theological discussion to be studied. Therefore, the presence of Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, as one of the 14 infallibles and her being a role model for women cemented the guidance and teachings which Islam brought and showed us that they are possible to implement in our daily lives.
I wake up to find you have left, oh Father. My tears drip down and they flow like a river. Please come back, I ask you by our Creator. I have never been away from you ever. I miss your scent and kiss, oh son of Haider. And my name is the sweet name of your mother.
Fatima Zahra, in the words of the infallibles, Lady Fatima is the highest of goodness and virtue. The Prophet used to praise the personality of his daughter, the Lady Fatima, by saying, "If goodness and virtue was in the form of a person, surely that person would be Fatima. In fact, Fatima would be better than that person, for definitely my daughter Fatima is the best of creation in terms of decent honor and nobility." These words of the Prophet show the boundless perfection of Lady Fatima. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Bevinistein. In this episode, we are going to review some remarkable and praiseworthy qualities of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alaiha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As we know, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had several children. However, the most important of them all was Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. This is because she was born after the advent of Islam, not in the time of Jahiliyyah. According to very important and highly authoritative hadiths, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha was born in the fifth year after the advent of Islam. So she wasn't born in the time of Jahiliyyah, and this is a great honor for her. At the same time, we find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha was the only female infallible personality in the long list of 14 infallibles in whom we believe in Islam. What's important in this regard is that the infallibility and immaculateness and inerrancy of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha proves that such a high status of being an infallible character is by no means limited to men. Rather, ladies may attain this high level. We find that Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha, as an infallible personality, was such a highly God-fearing character and personality, such that all her speeches and conduct and all her behavior still proves as a good way of finding out what's desirable and what's recommended in the Islamic religion.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Wa ba'liha wa baniha bi'adadi ma ahata bihi. اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, and especially this program, today's special, we look at Lady Zahra's role and responsibilities due to her family ties. Lady Fatima's role as a daughter can be seen in her fulfillment of duties towards her father in different and very harsh times. The incidents of infidels throwing filth on Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, in the house of God, and her bravely coming and removing it in the midst of enemies is an example. The respect Prophet showed towards her by giving her his own seat is another proof of Hazrat Fatima Zahra as a role model for daughters. Her role as a wife can be seen in her excellent management of home and support for her husband, Imam Ali alayhi salam, who more than any other companion of Prophet was involved in defense of Islam and Muslims and was away from the house during battles and other missions. He was sent by the Prophet. She was a close and sincere friend to her husband and a partner in performing her duties not only towards him, but also towards needy Muslims. Incidents of her and Imam Ali sleeping hungry while feeding a Muslim passenger is an example. Her role as a model can be seen in the light of her upbringing of her children. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, Hazrat Zainab and Umm Kulthum, peace be upon them all. Lives of these personalities and their brilliant and par excellence role in the most adverse moments of the history of Islam is a proof to the best upbringing they received from their mother.
Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam, she is the source of the dhurriyah. She is the source for the progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Rasulullah, he did not have children. He did not have children, or when he did have children, his children would die. He had a son, he died in Mecca. Another one in Mecca died. Ibrahim in Medina died. But Allah gave him Fatima alayhi salam. And the kuffar and the mushrikeen would come to Rasulullah and they would call him Abtar. Abtar is one who does not have a progeny. Abtar is one who does not have anyone to follow. So Allah gave him another verse in the Quran. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have given you kawthar. Now the apparent meaning of kawthar is the khayr al-kathir, abundance, or the pond of kawthar in heaven. But the ta'wil, this is the tafsir, but the ta'wil of this verse, kawthar is Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. And the proof for that is because at the end of the verse, Allah says, إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. Your enemies, they are going to be the ones who are abtar, who don't have a progeny. And today we see that the progeny of Rasulullah, there are millions of people that are so happy just to be the descendants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. It's their honor. They're happy to be the descendants of Rasulullah. They are the descendants of Rasulullah through one person, and that is Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam.
Dear brothers and sisters, as you see, this is a very nice and interesting discussion, and because of that, we try to know more about this great and noble lady. So it's a good idea that we continue this topic on the next episode of today's special, inshallah. So please follow today's special on IRIB English Radio. Fi amanillah.
يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت محمد يا قرة عين الرسول يا سيدتنا ومولاتنا إنا توجهنا واستشفعنا وتوسلنا بك إلى الله وقدمناك بين يدي حاجاتنا يا وجيهة عند الله اشفعي لنا عند الله
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, since people in the West are enjoying Christmas holidays, we join them in their hour of joy by reflecting upon a wise saying of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, with reference to Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. God the Blessed, the Exalted, says, my faithful servants become sad when I take the worldly pleasures away from them. while this is the most lovable and the most favorable thing for me. They feel happy when I bestow upon them many worldly pleasures, while this is the most detestable and the remotest thing from me. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. All peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his family.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the fundamental teachings that we have in Islam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward or punish individuals for things which they can do, which they have in the ability to do. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not, for example, punish a person who is not able to fast. I mean, really, he cannot fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard has put alternative methods in order to, you know, for that person to kind of repay what he missed. And we have this in fiqh, and it's not the place to speak about it, inshallah. Brothers and sisters may listen to it on the programs that do the jurisprudence. But in terms of, you know, even getting reward, for example, I remember once we met with one of the great scholars in Iran, who is now passed away, Ayatollah Mujtaba Lari, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless his soul. You once said to us that, you know, we in Iran, he mentioned, are not or do not at times get reward for not drinking alcohol. And he said that because we can't really get it easily and there's no reward for it. But you, on the other hand, talking to us as you coming from Western countries, you know, you are surrounded by it. And by you not drinking it, you know, you get more reward. You will actually get the reward for not drinking alcohol because you have the ability to do it, but you refrain. However, a person who does not have the ability to do something and yet there's no refraining there, there's no chance of them even doing it. So in this, you know, hadith from the Holy Prophet that we will share with you today, it has that type of message that it comes across, that a person who has access to sin and does not perform it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him immense rewards and immense positions with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that he who has unlawful access to enjoy a lady or a maid but leaves her for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't leave her because of what do people say, or it doesn't leave the sin for fear that, oh, I might be seen or what will happen to my reputation. No, this individual, man or woman, leaves the sin because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep him safe from the fire, preserve him from the great terror, and make him enter into paradise. So here we see that if a person has access to certain sins, refrains because that person fears that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep an eye and protect this person from that which will come in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who feel His presence wherever we are, and are able to keep away from those sins which we are able to perform for fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first, we are going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we're going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Julie Sampson, the professor in gynecology and obstetrics, has said about the Quran came several centuries ago, confirming what we discovered. This indicates that the Quran is the word of God. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Al-Hadid, verses 1 to 3, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير وهو بكل شيء عليم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير وهو بكل شيء عليم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. What you just listened to was the recitation of Surah Al-Hadid, verses 1 to 3, by Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq Al-Minshawi. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of Tajweed.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبح لله ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
Notice how Sheikh Minshawi, when he stops on the word والأرض, the ضاد, whenever it's ساكن, we can hear the sound being stretched, lengthened. and this is the correct way of pronouncing Dad. It should not have qalqala, and it should not be, pronounced like with an abrupt silence. Wal-ard is incorrect. It's wal-ard. So you hear this sound at the end, the stretching or the lengthening of the consonant of Dad. Of course, this lengthening is not only whenever it's sakin, even when it's not sakin and when it has a haraka, you should still hear it. But it's a lot more noticeable whenever it's sakin or mushaddad. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ حَا has buha. حَا is pronounced from the top of the throat by tightening the throat, the top part of the throat. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Again, we have the Lod. And we also have إشباع of هَاءُ الضَّمِيرِ in the word لَهُ. لَهُ, which is actually two words, لَا and هُ. And we can say in this phrase, we have إشباع of هَاءُ الضَّمِيرِ. And it takes place whenever there is no sakin letter on either sides of the ha. Okay, so there has to be haraka before the ha al-dhamir. And there should not be a sakin letter after the ha al-dhamir. Otherwise, ishba' will not take place. So whenever ha al-dhamir has haraka on both sides, that is when ha al-dhamir takes place. If it has a sukun on either side, either the back or the front of the ha'ud dhamir, then ishba' doesn't take place. We just say, for example, minhu, lahu shaytan, for example. Okay? Because a letter that has hamzatul wasl is considered, a word that has, begins with hamzatul wasl is considered sakin. Yuhi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. والأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. Notice how Minshawi pronounced the ta with a kasra. والباطن, طن, not طن. We don't give too much tafkhim whenever a ta has a kasra. وهو بكل شيء عليم. And then he recited these verses the second time. And he changed the riwayah to khalaf an hamza. And we have a lot of sects, the pauses. For example, lahu mulku as-samawati wal-ardi yuhyi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir huwal awwal wal akhir wal zahir wal batin. See, these are all sects that take place whenever there's a sakin letter followed by a hamza. Thank you, dear listeners, for listening to today's program of Let's Recite the Quran. May Allah bless all of you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Kitabullah.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome again to our segment, to our program, where we discuss certain stories and anecdotes that revolve around the verses of the Holy Quran. In our previous episode, we discussed the story of Walid ibn Mughayrah and Walid asking the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite a verse from the Holy Quran for him. And what was surprisingly that he actually asked for that verse to be recited again, and that was the 90th verse from Surah Nahl, the 16th surah of the Holy Quran. And as we said, that this is one of the surahs that contains a lot. It contains, as some scholars said, the entirety of the Islamic either doctrine or law or ethical system, according to some scholars. So anyway, after the Holy Prophet recites this verse again, Walid, you know, amazingly says this. Now, this is something amazing what he says. Walid says, Wallah. Now obviously, he is a mushrik, he's a kafir. He's someone who doesn't believe in Islam, but he uses the word Allah. Allah always had that meaning of someone great, of a esteemed being, that higher being. So Walid then swearing and taking an oath by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that name that encapsulates all the Asma'ul Husna and all the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not because he was Muslim, you know, because that particular word had that particular meaning of a great being, of the absolute being. Obviously, the instances and the reference that the kuffar and the mushrikeen take were different of this name. So he says that, I swear by the truth, or always can't say by Allah, he doesn't believe in Allah. I swear by that reality or that higher being, whoever that may be, that this, what you has just recited, has a specific sweetness and delicacy to it. It is, its beauty and its rhythm is well calculated. Its branches of what you have just recited is full of fruit. It is overburdened with produce, and its roots are full of blessings and are deep and have depth to it. This is a high or an eloquent speech, and no speech can go higher than it. That is the peak of speech. It is a speech that encapsulates and encompasses everything that is below it. And it is not possible for a man or a bashar or an insan or somebody of our ilk to say something like it. This is from who? Walid ibn Mughayra. Inshallah, we'll continue in our next episode regarding this and what other scholars have said regarding what Walid said. Inshallah, until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of the Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us. Dear brothers and sisters, since you may have been previously with us, we were talking about the elements of love, hub, and intimacy within the supplications and how important they are in our relations with the Almighty Allah. As an illustration, we were talking about yearning for Allah and intimacy with Him in the whispered prayer of Muridin or the devotees from Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. In that whispered prayer, Imam alayhi salam started saying, "O Allah, make us travel on the roads that arrive at you and set us in motion on paths nearest to searching you." Then he continued describing Almighty Allah by saying, "O He who comes toward those who come toward Him and grants gifts and bestows bounty upon them through tenderness. He is compassionate and clement toward those heedless of His remembrance, and loving and tender in drawing them to His door. I ask you to place me among those of them who have the fullest share from you, the highest station with you, the most plentiful portion of your love, and the most excellent allotment of your knowledge. You are my object, none other. To you alone belongs my wakings and my sleeplessness. Meeting you is the gladness of my eye." And in the ending part, he said, "In whispered prayer to you I find my response and my ease. With you lies the remedies of my illness and the cure for my burning thirst, the coolness of my ardor and the removal of my distress.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ."
So in the beginning, Imam Zain al-Abidin asks Allah to hold his hand and make him traverse the path which arrives at him. And thereafter, he asks from Allah to join him with those people who hasten to him from among his righteous servants, those who quickly move forward to the Almighty Allah and spend their day and nights in his obedience and in his worship. However, the path to Allah is hard and difficult, and of course the Quran has referred to this path as one with thorns, as that of shawka. There have been many people who began journeying this path with resolution and determination, but then they collapsed in the middle of the way. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam asks Allah to make near for him the far and make easy for him the hard during this difficult journey. And he asks the Almighty Allah to join him to the righteous people, those salihin who have preceded him. Of course, he himself is the leader of the righteous, but this is how he asks the Almighty Allah, the company of the friends of Allah and the righteous ones on the roads which is covered with thorns. It gives strength to the hearts of all and increases in their determination to pursue the path further on. So this is why Imam, being the leader of the righteous, asked the Almighty Allah to be joined to the righteous people on this straight path. Indeed, the journey to Allah is difficult. So if a group of the righteous move together on this path, holding firm unto each other, supporting each other, enjoining one another to patience and to follow the truth, then moving on the path with thorns would become much easier for them.
First. why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo keshti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju kishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad abaz. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Regarding the nature of this long and rather difficult journey, asking the nearing of the far, asking for ease in the journey, and joining the righteous who were on this path previously, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, "And set us in motion on the paths nearest to reaching you, and make near for us the far, and make easy for us the hard and difficult." And then he continues talking about joining those patient and righteous servants. He says, "Join us to your servants who hurry to you swiftly, knock constantly at your door, and worship you by night and by day." Dear listeners, for further explanation on this beautiful whispered prayer of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, you can refer to the article titled as "The Supplication in the Eyes of Ahlul Bayt," available at the website al-islam.org, and we took great help from it. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, 'cause I need by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering a dance on questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi, and in the studio we have our dear scholar, Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Thank you for coming. The questions we have received here is about beliefs from you, dear listeners. And I would dive straight into the first question. That is, if we delete God from our lives, what will happen? Basically, if I become an atheist, what will happen? What is the difference between me and others? I mean, I'm having a very nice life with a high welfare, and I'm an atheist. I don't believe in your God or in any entity or any God or supervisor of the realms and the universe. And I'm having my life, I'm living my life, and what will be the effect in my life and others who believe?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, obviously, when we delete God from our lives, it means that, obviously, if someone becomes an atheist, as you just mentioned, what will happen? In the Quran, we see the very first verse of the Quran, which says Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which means that in the name of, or with the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most beneficial, most merciful. Now, here there is a discussion that the word ar-Rahman, he is the beneficent, and he is all, we say like all beneficent, or he is beneficent. And
compassion.
When he is beneficent, he is beneficent to all, no matter whether this person is basically obeying him or not,
believing on him
or not, atheist, Muslim, maybe Christian, Jew,
whatever,
or maybe a worshipper of an idol like Hindu, who are bringing like partners for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter who he is, he gives them, and he is beneficent. Now, this person, if he's in his life, he's being a